This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're set to talk with one of our favorite college football experts here on The Fan, Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 8 lines. We're heading for a big one as Danny joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I am phenomenal. It is great catching up with you again, Gavin. I cannot wait for this weekend. You know, last weekend was such a high bar because these two weekends and a couple of these games are games that have been circled for, 6 months, a year when we start looking out ahead. And last weekend was just fireworks everywhere, and it was awesome football. I think we get more of the same this weekend. I mean, college football, we are right in the thick of it. And it has delivered once again, and I am so amped up to talk about this Texas-Georgia game. Cannot wait.
Yeah, buddy, the entertainment value through the roof. Now, that line's grown from 3.5 to 5 throughout the course of this week. Do you agree with the bettors coming in here heavy on the Longhorns?
So I'd like the Texas Longhorns to win, but I also think it could play out much like we saw two heavyweights going toe-to-toe last week in Oregon and Ohio State, that this could be a closer game, like a field goal type game. So I know this may feel like a cop-out on in Texas, hey, is he just trying to play both sides? I think the value resides in Georgia, where they're undervalued. And I'll tell you why, because Georgia, they lost to Alabama, which is, it was a game that kind of unfolded crazily. They looked awful in the first half, which a lot of people watched that, and watched Carson Beck, their quarterback, struggle. Last week, they struggled against Mississippi State, who's one of the worst teams in the SEC. They gave up 31 points. It's like, ooh, Georgia does not look right coming into this game. And then on the flip side, you've got Texas coming off a dominant win against Oklahoma in the Red River. You've got them already beating Michigan on the road. But I would just have a word of caution that I don't know if Texas has been tested like they're going to be tested against Georgia. And I'm, one of the things I'm really keeping an eye on is Isaiah Bond, that injury and his, kind of injury report every day watching him. Is he 100%? Is he good to go? He is such a difference maker in this offense that I do think he could have a massive impact. And I think everything has been good, which may be one of the reasons so much money is coming in on the Texas Longhorns. But I do think the value's on Georgia. This is still a team that has won 2 national championships. They've played in big games before. They're not going to be overwhelmed by the crowd. And I do think Carson Beck it's him and Quinn Ewers probably playing for potentially who's the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft next year. And I give the edge to Quinn Ewers clearly for what, how consistent he's been and for how he won last year in Alabama and this year in Michigan. But Carson Beck is more than capable for going toe to toe with Quinn Ewers shot for shot. So I'm very curious to see how this game plays out. I think it's close. It's down the wire. I do think Texas wins, but I kind of like Georgia with the points.
Where do you think Georgia does have an advantage, if at all? Because it feels like Texas is as well-rounded a team, and Georgia oftentimes has the advantage in the trenches, but Texas seems to have that pretty much locked down this year. So where do you think Georgia actually has an advantage?
So I don't think there clearly are not many advantages at all. I would say that Texas's weakness, if you will, is their secondary. Mm-hmm. And so that's what concerns me. And that's why I do think this will probably be a higher scoring game because, you know, you've got, you know, great offensive mind in Sark. You've got so much firepower on the offensive side of the ball for Texas. I think they'll be able to score against Georgia. Pretty much everybody has. This is the difference, though. I think this is the best quarterback that Texas has faced all year. You know, last week against Oklahoma, it's Michael Hawkins. It's in his second start. Michigan, it was Davis Warren, who, you know, has since been benched. You know, he hasn't been that good. And again, this will be the best, you know, quarterback that they face. So I don't know if it's an edge, but I would say that's the area that I think Georgia can have some success against, which again is why I think this game will be higher scoring, much like we saw with Ohio State, Oregon. The Texas secondary is what I'm worried about. Now, of course, that can be neutralized by a pass rush and with crowd noise and all the things that Texas is going to be, you know, bring to the table with guys like Colin Simmons, who's been just as good a freshman as any of these wide receivers. Like wide receivers, Ryan Williams, Jeremiah Smith, they get so much attention because they're on offensive highlights, right? They make so many big plays. But Colin Simmons has been just as strong and just as impressive as a freshman for the Longhorns than anybody in the country as a freshman.
Now, you mentioned Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers maybe competing to be the first pick in the draft. Does that mean you're not buying Shedeur Sanders here?
No, I think that's going to be a really – he's absolutely going to be a part of the equation. I like Shedeur a lot, and even maybe more so than I did last year, especially just watching last week's game unfold for him. So he was without Travis Hunter for a lot of the game. He lost another one of his top receivers in Horn, I think it was, who went out. And he still was out there making plays. And once again, he's been behind an offensive line, which has struggled to protect him. He was sacked 6 times against Kansas State. And yet he still has his team in a position to win. You know, he has more on his shoulders than Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers do because he doesn't have as much talent around him. He doesn't have the defense that they have, so he has to do more. I just think that Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers have top-tier arms. That's the one thing about Shedeur. He makes a lot of throws. I think he's outstanding. I think he's a first-round pick. I do think he doesn't have the top-tier arm strength that a couple of these other guys do, but he will absolutely be in that conversation. And they might, similar to last year where we saw this run of quarterbacks in the top, you know, 12 picks, I think it could be these three guys could potentially go in the top 10 as well.
Danny, is the Alabama-Tennessee game the loser in that game and eliminated from the playoffs?
You're going to hear that a lot. And I think the answer you're going to get from a lot of people is yes. Like, oh, it's an elimination game. The only thing I would caution against is they do play in the SEC, and I still think 10-2 gets you in, right? Mm. But if, like, let's say Alabama, let's say they lose on the road at Tennessee. Like, why did they lose? And to me, it's like continued issues on the defensive side of the ball. So if that's the case, that to me says, well, the likelihood that they go 10-2 becomes that much tougher to overcome. So, like, they have to play Missouri, who's got, you know, an okay passing game. But then they have LSU on the road in Baton Rouge. And I would say Garrett Nussmeier, if Tennessee's able to throw on them, then I think Garrett Nussmeier and LSU will absolutely have a field day against that defense. So, like, I think it's elimination game from the perspective of this team may not be as good as we thought they were, and so therefore they might finish 9-3, which is definitely elimination game. But, like, I don't think 10-2 means you're out. So I think it's an elimination game, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I just think it makes your odds, like, exponentially, you know, that much more challenging to get there.
Danny Cannell with us here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. What are you thinking about the Aggies there? They've really found themselves after losing to Notre Dame. They blow out Mizzou. And looking at their schedule the rest of the way, I'm kind of thinking they could come in with that Texas matchup just having that one loss.
So you'll appreciate this, Gavin, because I thought I was a genius before the season. I was looking at Texas A&M, and I was like, this is the dark horse team in this SEC. And a lot of it was because of their schedule, and a lot of it was because of what I had heard about Connor Wegman, you know, being this quarterback that was really going to thrive in Colin Klein's system, and he was going to take that next step. And then, of course, they lose to Notre Dame, and Connor Wegman looks awful in that game. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to look like an idiot. And then I kind of just forgot about him. I was like, well, they'll figure things out. And then to add insult to injury, I thought Marcel Reed was the difference maker in that offense. I'm like, man, I don't think they should play Connor Wegman, even if he's healthy. But as typically goes, coaches know best. They know the locker room. They know practice. They know, you know, leadership intangibles. And when Mike Elko decided to go back to Connor Wegman, I was genuinely in shock. I was like, there's no way he can go back. But he did. And boy, is he glad, and Texas A&M faithful, glad he did, because you talk about a pressure-packed game. Connor Wegman knew what would happen if he didn't play well. He knew the Boo Birds would come out. He knew his job. He'd probably get benched. And he knew kind of what the reaction would be. And that was the best version of Connor Wegman that I have seen, even better than what I expected. And as you mentioned, the schedule sets up really, really nice. You know, Mississippi State, one of the worst teams in the SEC, they played this weekend. LSU at home. I think LSU is a good team. I don't put them on the same category. I think Texas A&M could have as much success against them as they did against Missouri. Maybe LSU scores a few more points, but I still think Texas A&M should win that one comfortably. On the road at Auburn, you know, that game doesn't really concern me for them, or South Carolina. And then, of course, it boils all down to that Texas game, which is really interesting here, because I want to play out a scenario for you. Let's say that Texas beats Georgia this weekend, which I think they do. I think Georgia covers, but Texas wins. And Texas is undefeated coming in that game against A&M in College Station. And the Aggies are in a spot where they're one loss. And, you know, if they win that game, they're all of a sudden – they might not get to the SEC championship game. They might. Depends on how a lot of these tiebreakers unfold. But if they lose that game, they might be out of the playoffs. What does Texas do in that scenario? Where does that game mean the same for Texas? You know what I mean? Like, it's, of course, it means a ton because it's a rivalry game. But, like, the more important game would be the SEC championship game if they're locked into that game as only undefeated in the conference. And, you know, if the Aggies are there, I'd have to see some of the tiebreakers. Like, clearly, I hope it means, you know, one is eliminated from the SEC championship game so you get their best shot. But what if in a scenario where Texas, what if they want to rest guys or they want to take guys and make sure they're fully healthy for the SEC championship game? And maybe there's potentially even a rematch on the line between these two teams. Like, what unfolds there, I think, is a really interesting dynamic in that game. I got way too long-winded on you, Gavin, but I think Texas A&M is that dark horse team, and I think they're going to end up with that one loss heading into that Texas game.
It's all good. Danny Cannell here with you in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and that is a fascinating scenario. I don't imagine the Longhorns taking their foot off the pedal in any matchup for even a second.
Right? It's crazy.
Against the Aggies.
You can't even think about it.
I mean, with so much on the line, it is an interesting dilemma to be in. Now, I don't want to bring up old stuff, Danny, but, you know, with Shador moving on to the league and Shiloh probably as well, and I know Mike Norvell is under contract for a while, but are you ready to have Deion take over Florida State at some point in the future?
It's interesting because there is definitely a faction of Florida State fans who I think are off their rocker, who are pounding the table for that move specifically to happen. The reality of the situation is Mike Norvell has $74 million left on his contract, right?
Yeah.
And unlike the Aggies, unlike A&M, we don't have the oil money backers to come in and cut a check that's that large. I think it's a couple things. Clearly, Florida State has fallen short of expectations. I don't think this is the only time we will ever see a team that has really high expectations, that buys a bunch of players in the portal, that tries to bring these together in the perfect scenario and is high expectations. And then the season kind of comes and falls apart on them because it's just really hard to develop that continuity. And when you do sign a portal quarterback like Florida State did, it scares off some other guys that potentially where you don't have as much depth. I think that's why Florida State had to stick with DJU for so long. I do think Brock Glenn will bring a spark to this offense, but I also think there's more of a tendency for players to throw in the towel that are hired guns as opposed to guys who played together, bled together, sweat together, off seasons, come in together as freshmen, and it's their senior year, and they're going to fight no matter what. I think there's more of a tendency for guys to throw in the towel. I don't think Florida State has done that at the start of games, but a couple games, SMU back into that game, it sure looked like a couple of those players were like, man, I'm done. This isn't my night, and just shut it down. And then it's like the recipe for the wheels coming disastrously off the way they have for Florida State. I still think they're fighting at the end, but I'm not worried about Mike Norvell yet. Although the noise is getting a lot louder because of Florida State's expectations. Yeah. I still am very much a believer in Mike Norvell, though.
My final question, if you're the Cowboys who are really struggling, speaking of the wheels coming off, would you take the running back out of Boise State, Ashton Gentry, there in the first round?
Absolutely. He is a special back. And, you know, I know he doesn't play at the same level of competition. And I do think that should matter for the Heisman Trophy race, which is why I have other guys ahead of him. But for the NFL specifically, this dude might be the best back we've seen in a couple years. He is a powerful back. He can catch it out of the backfield. Does kind of remind me of Bijan Robinson, somebody you guys know pretty well in the state of Texas who played for the Longhorns. He is dynamic. And one of my favorite things about him is if you watch him play, you got to watch his stance in the backfield because he's about as chill and like just standing up straight. Like he's almost standing like if he's just standing on a street corner. And then all of a sudden he takes the ball and he like rockets out of there. He is so much fun to watch. He's explosive. I think he will be the top running back taken off the board when he comes out.
Thank you, Danny. Enjoy the games and we'll catch up with you soon.
You got it, Gavin. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the games.
Cheers, buddy. There he goes. Danny Cannell talking college football here with us, brought to you by Bet Online.
Big got that fan. Last one right.
Yeah, he sure did, man. Salute to him.
And there is a breakdown CBS Sports has of Ashton Gentry compared to some of the other backs that have come out of the draft in recent memory. We might be able to break that down later on in the program.
Eric, if I call him the next Barry Sanders, will you pay attention?
No, he's not going to care.
Yeah, I've heard that one before, bro.
6 o'clock, I'll bring that up.
I just want to make sure that if every back I call the next Barry Sanders, it'll get your attention.
I do like what Danny's saying about his stance, though.
Oh, he's Michael Myers back there.
He is, dude. He just stands up straight. He doesn't, like, running backs usually have their hands, like, on their knees in, like, a ready athletic position or whatever.
Did you watch the Lions last week?
Jameer Gibbs is the same way.
Gibbs just stands straight up and then just
Gibbs kinda got it from Gentry. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, because he's never done that before.
Yeah.
I did not see him do that at Alabama. I have not seen him do that so far in the NFL.
I was curious. I was going to ask Broadus and obviously you too, Walchuk, with all the film that you guys watch, is that something that is happening or is this a very new style with these running backs.
It's not something I'd seen before Gentry.
It's a new aesthetic.
Yeah.
I like it.
I know Woolchuck's top 10's coming up next. What's the subject matter, buddy?
Big day. National Pasta Day, Eric. Top 10 best pasta dishes in the U.S. of A. And let's relive some audio of Cowboys Pass. That's next.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. Shout out to a couple of texters that came in here, 214 and the 484. Le'Veon Bell actually did that stand-up stance. So does Nick Chubb. I didn't notice it from Chubb. Bell definitely did. But, Ashton Gentry and the stand-up stance. Maybe he grew up a
good
big
point.
Bell fan.
Good point. Yep.
But not a lot of running backs doing it. 877-881-1053. What is your favorite pasta dish on National Pasta Day? We'll get to that in just a second. Did get an update from Mike Garofolo. Speaking of pasta, the Italianano himself, Malik Nabers, cleared concussion protocol, expected to play for the Giants this week as they take on the Eagles. So that's a big get back, although they won't have Andrew Thomas, their left tackle.
Give me the Giants to payoff.
You're going with the Giants?
No, settle down over there.
First. Anybody want in on the Broncos with me tonight, huh? Be a great feeling tomorrow, boys.
I'm
a terrible feeling.
I'm keeping the door open until the end of the program tonight. It is jarring when you look at. I believe
put your balls on the table with me. Let's go.
I think Cedric Wilson is wide receiver one tonight.
Oh man, that makes me a little nervous. Cedric Wilson could have a hell of a game.
Okay, do you guys know who? Am I making these names up? Mason Tipton. Is he a made up name or is he a starting receiver for the Saints tonight on Thursday Night Football?
Made up.
Yeah. Incorrect. He's wide receiver two. What about this one? Bub Means
is a real player.
He caught a touchdown last week, so I know he's
Bub
real.
Bub Means, I think he's Pittsburgh.
You watch his tape? Bub Means well.
Yes, he is. Yes. We did watch his tape.
Bub Means is Pittsburgh.
What was your grade on him?
I think I had him in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Undrafted?
Three. I think maybe like an undrafted guy for me.
Yeah. Maybe next year, Bub.
Scout over here. He's catching touchdowns. Got him over as a free agent.
I don't know if he did get drafted, honestly. I think he
Walchuk was calling him Bum Means all throughout the draft process. But
it's a hell of a name. Big fan of Bub Means over here.
That's your starting receiver. That's your trio tonight. Cedric Wilson, Mason Tipton, and Bub Means.
Where were these guys in week two?
Yep.
You know, I mean, where was this team in week two when you just got mauled?
They're down McCoy.
Those guys were probably sitting on their respective couches watching Derek Carr and Alvin Kamara put belt to ass.
They weren't traveling with the team. All right, before we get to speaking of belt to ass, we had the Dale Hansen versus Barry Switzer feud that we talked about at the opening of the show. Was able to find a little bit of this audio. Here's a little quick clip from WFAA. Back, we're talking 25 years ago now, 94. 95. Yeah, here's Barry Switzer and Dale Hansen going at it.
I can go back and sit on my couch any day because I came to Dallas with more money than Jimmy left with.
This is starting to hurt a little bit, but it hasn't changed what I believe. I gave you the forum. I still think you've got dissension among your staff.
Oh, you
I really
do. Dumb, but you got guys fabricating.
We make it all up.
You do. You're the guy that told us last week, walked up to jury.
Do me a favor.
You said that Tony Casillas had a brain tumor.
I never said.
You guys manufacture everything. Oh, I got a radiologist and just saw the film. You guys manufacture everything.
Did you ever see that story on the air or in print?
No, but you walked over and told Jerry that.
I did not tell him that.
Jerry,
now, wait a minute.
I did not do this.
I asked the question.
Are you getting good ratings tonight? Is anybody going to watch this?
Yeah, no, don't start questioning.
Now, wait a minute. You told Jerry he had a brain tumor.
I did not.
Did you tell someone?
I did not tell anybody.
Oh, wait a minute. No, wait.
I did not tell anybody. Oh, no, wait a minute, Barry. I'm going to give you the form. I'm giving you the form, but let's play fair. I did not tell anybody any such thing. I ask a lot of questions. I ask a lot of tough questions. I try to ask tough questions.
Well, but you were false about that.
I never reported that. I never reported that.
That's ridiculous.
I never reported that.
I think I'll go talk to Kevin on it. I'm going to have a screaming match with Kevin. Send your camera over.
Well, start hitting
I'm
my other arm.
Out of bed.
Start hitting my other arm next time around. Cowboys coach Barry Switzer.
And he's hitting him the whole time.
The whole time.
He's giving a little punch in the side of the arm. Very excited there, Barry.
Yeah.
Very excited.
He was definitely bullying Dale Hansen. And, you know, as a result of that and the things that were occurring then, Dale believes Barry Switzer wanted him gone. And eventually got him out along with, you know, Jerry Jones ultimately making the decision. But that was the lead story today when we opened the show because USA Today's, is it RJ Barrett? With a story
not the New York Knicks player.
No, the other Barrett.
No, Jared Bell.
Jared Bell.
He's actually going to hop on with us at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Right on. So yeah, he published a story today and we believed at the time that it was a new set of Jerry Jones quotes, you know, talking about how, Dale Hansen and Brad Sham, you know, were held accountable in the past and, you know, drawing
an analogy to this week's situation with Sean Sharif. So it's very interesting, and it's fascinating to look back on, Wolchuk.
It is. Just a blast from the past there. Some audio with Barry versus Dale. All right, 877-881-1053. What's your favorite pasta dish in honor of National Pasta Day? We got some chicken bow tie from Johnny Carino's from the 469. Baked ziti.
Yes.
Lasagna.
Big ZD's probably my number one.
Getting
dude.
Some love. Spicy chicken rigatoni from Buca di Beppo is the 254. They love it. They love it.
I think
it.
The tortellini reigns supreme. You know, it's got a little cheese stuff there in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. Dominant. You can put all kinds of stuff in there.
In fact, 214 says, I love, in caps, the tortellini Aurora from Valentino's in Rowlett. So shout out to you guys. You
Sounds
are
good.
Doing it right. Lucius, I think I remember you're a big lasagna guy.
Yeah, I love lasagna. Big time lasagna. It's not the one seed. The one seed is kind of, it's not really going to hit like
chicken
that with everybody. Turkey tetrazzini, bro. Turkey. Yes, and then penne rustica. Am I saying it right? Penne rustica?
I think you are.
My God, I used to get it at Macaroni Grill. That's my baby dude, right there,
all,
boy.
Did they all close down, all
I
the macaroni
so.
Grills?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I haven't seen one in a minute.
I used to enjoy Macaroni Grill as well. They had one right by that Cinemark Legacy there in Plano.
One of their main guys like branched off, and I think it's Chef's Point. And he was like out of gas stations and stuff like Wataga. I think he might be, I don't know where he may be now, but it was like one of the main Macaroni Grill dudes started his own kitchen in a gas station. It was called Chef's Point. I think they're still crushing.
Wow.
But it was like a hot spot
That's
for a while.
That's pretty cool.
My
man.
Parents were like, yeah, we're going back to the gas station for dinner.
Anytime
like,
you find
it, it's fire.
Yeah, good. I mean, some good gas station cooking, dude.
El Pariente. In Denton.
Always had a sweet,
R.I.P.
sweet place in our heart. They need to reopen that thing.
Does the chicken parm sandwich count as Italian?
Oh, absolutely.
Even though it's not a pasta,
but it counts.
But
it's
still,
an Italian dish.
Okay. Still got, I mean, you can talk about a sandwich anytime, especially that particular one. It's so good.
I actually think it's our year anniversary of Brian really, really ticking somebody off that was listening to the program talking about like angel hair.
Yeah.
You can't use angel
that's
hair
true.
Pasta. With,
well, it's like a vitality thing, right? Or something about how it's got to soak up
it's
the
It's just too
the sauce.
Thin. It can't hold.
It's too thin to hold sauce.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, angel hair with shrimp is an honorable
mention. Use rigatoni if you want to hold sauce.
Pasta puttanesca comes in at number 11.
I love that rigatoni, dude, because then just stuff gets wedged up in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful vessel of,
it's the,
of flavor.
It's the vessel. It absolutely is. Chef's Point in Colleyville as well. From the
okay, yes, so. Colleyville. Maybe that's where they, I think they may have moved. Yeah,
so we've got the 817 saying there's now one in Euless in a restaurant. It's a restaurant in Euless from the 817. Maybe they opened up a couple of different locations.
I think the 817 has it correct. Chef's Point, Macaroni Grill guy, turns it at Chef's Point into a gas station, and then he graduated. He's leveled up now. He's got his own restaurant off 121.
Okay,
so
there we go.
Kudos to him. If you want that Macaroni Grill flavor,
yeah.
I think Chef's Point is bringing it home.
Chef's Point, I'm gonna need to hit that up. Number 10 is pesto pasta.
Green pesto
sauce.
Green pesto, yeah.
You can put the pesto with the...
I think that goes well with third.
I'm not a huge pesto guy either. That goes well with angel hair. Pesto and angel hair.
Real good, yeah.
Rock that. Number 9 is penne alla vodka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do love those vodka sauces.
Yeah, it's a little spicy one. That's absolutely divine. 8 is stuffed manicotti.
Yeah, 817 manicotti by far.
Yep. There you go.
Manicotti's delicious. 7 is tortellini. Gavin,
there you go. Yeah, that one's pretty amazing. Do you get the? Do you get it right there? I mean, they have it out of the bag, and you can dial it up pretty quickly at home. It's kind of nice.
We actually had some gluten-free tortellini here recently, and I couldn't tell you the difference.
I'll get it out of the deli section, like the refrigerated pastas.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
All ready to rock. Yeah, boil it for about 5 minutes.
It's so easy. Yeah.
It is
great.
It is. Easy. It's very convenient. 6 is baked ziti. Comes in number 6.
Yes, that would be like if my mom is making a pasta dish, that's probably the one I'm going for, even though I will say that tetrazzini, a Black Friday turkey tetrazzini with leftover turkey
from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, dude, it really is.
We do a Friendsgiving this year if you want to bring some leftovers.
It's so good. Yes,
actually,
don't
just
put me down for the mac and cheese.
Your mom over.
Okay, yeah.
Bring the parents.
I'll bring.
I miss Pete. How's he doing?
He's doing fantastic.
Sweet, sweet man.
I'll bring the frozen baked ziti, the Michelangelo's with the little mini meatballs.
No, you bring
fantastic.
The Popeye, baby.
Yeah.
You bring the Popeye or you bring
whatever
those
you
Costco
want.
Hamburgers.
Whatever you need.
You know, those seem like they're up in the Dawson's
The sugar creams.
Oh.
The Costco burgers. There's not a better burger patty you can buy at a grocery store.
Because if we got people that, let's say, they're out on the Turkey Day food... Burgers, boom, here you go. Nobody's going to say no to that.
Thanksgiving burgers.
They thaw out in like 30 minutes.
It's perfect.
Miraculous.
5 is fettuccine alfredo. Which I think we talked with Lombardi about. Ooh, this. That's not even a thing in Italy.
I think most of the stuff that we eat here is not.
They're going to laugh at us and say, you Americans.
Yeah. It's Italian-American, and it's better.
Yeah, well, I've signed me up for fettuccine Alfredo any day of the week. Four is mac and cheese.
Somebody else be mad at you besides me.
Mac and cheese coming in at four, top 10 pasta dish in America.
It's always, they only have lasagna for Christmas in Italy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Christmas dish,
that's
like
true.
A turkey.
Yes. Yeah. Man, that's a specialty thing. Best lasagna in Dallas from the 469. Where? Let me know. Let me know where. Tortellini Alfredo getting texted. The Duck Duck Mac from Nick and Sam's is getting some love here on the text as well. Top three pasta dishes.
Wow, that's duck in a mac and cheese?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds divine.
Duck and cheese.
Yes, dude. That sounds really good. The duck at the Vegas buffet was the standout
duck
item.
Is good. Three is ravioli. You can do it fried.
Yes.
You can do it regular. Two is spaghetti with meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's old school right there. You got to love that.
Very old school. It's my favorite food for the majority of my life until I found sushi.
I feel like all these are pretty much the same dish, just with different designs cut out of the pasta.
Yeah, and sauces. But yes.
I'm not complaining.
No, you know,
definitely. Yeah.
All good. But number one, best pasta dish in America. It is indeed the lasagna.
Yeah.
Thank you, World Chuck. He's done it again. Another top 10 for the ages, top 10 pastas here.
Oh, Italiano.
And in the G-Bag Nation. And he's going to go back to back here because we have some hockey and baseball, Wolchuk.
Oh, let's do it. We got a postseason update for you. And Otter isn't going anywhere. That's next in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Football's finest coming up here at 5 o'clock. Then the Expressway. In the Expressway, I have the most gangster Olympic snowboarding story of all time. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Gangsters, what's up,
even
guys?
Even more than that one from a few years ago?
Yes.
Yeah,
it trumps that one.
No effing way, dude.
For sure,
Wolchuk doesn't even believe that.
No, I don't believe it, dude. Not that one time.
But here's Wolchuk with the latest on baseball and hockey.
Let's do it. Combo. Quick puck with a P, and we're around the bases. We actually have some day baseball going on, which, Brian, I'm going to tell you something.
I love day baseball.
Hate it. Hate it for the championship series.
Why?
Why? Well, we shouldn't be playing a conference championship game during the daytime. In fact, I think the ALCS and the NLCS, they need their own nights and times. We don't need to play the ALCS game during the day.
I grew up watching World Series baseball during the day.
That was a problem.
No, not a problem at all.
Not in the major sports time we're looking at.
I love the fact I think all the umpires need to have like their sport coats on, not just the home plate umpire. I'm talking like all of them.
Everybody wears a suit?
No, they all wear sport coats. Like, there used to be a time where the crews were split. You used to have American League umpires and National League umpires.
Yeah.
And, like, the American League umpires wore red jackets. So they had, like,
you could
red.
Tell them apart.
So you could tell the conferences apart.
That's interesting.
But I used to love with all, like, the umpires would come together. But they'd all wear, like, turtlenecks and jackets. To me, and it was like a cold game. I loved it.
Yeah.
Now we're wearing like these kind of windbreaker jackets. They come back with the blazers.
Well, it'll be colder
with
if the
shoulder pads.
Down.
Well, that's what the umpire. That's what the home plate umpire wears. He's got a sport coat on, but everybody else is wearing kind of like a windbreaker with a some stuff.
Coaching jacket or something.
Yeah. Yep. They need to go back to the old ways of doing.
Well, the Yankees are looking to take a commanding 3-0 series lead in the American League Championship Series. Our old buddy Jose Trevino, an RBI single to score Anthony Volpe, has the Yanks up 1-0 in the top of the second.
I'm so happy for him.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
He's a great guy. I mean, I definitely would be rooting for Trevi to go ahead and get himself.
I think he follows all of us on Twitter and stuff.
He's a big fan of the station. He was a Tolo.
He's
great Tolo. I liked everything about him except for the fact that he's a Spurs fan. But I overlooked
that. Absolutely. That's true, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And the Guardians are actually starting Matt Boyd, a guy that I've read, like, if the Rangers were looking to go ahead and maybe add some pitching help this offseason, you want to head and add a lefty.
Matt Oil Can Boyd.
Matthew Boyd might be one of those guys to do that. Now, he's got 3 Ks over 2 innings. He just gave up the first run he has all postseason, so he might be a guy to monitor this offseason for your Texas Rangers. Also, Nasty Nestor Cortez could return to the Yankees rotation if they make the World Series, which is looking pretty good if they're going to make the World Series. He suffered a flexor strain, hasn't pitched in a game since September 18th, but he's looking more and more in line to be able to come back. So Yankees could get their lefty back for the Fall Classic here in a week. Now, last night, no surprise, Shohei Ohtani did it again. Another dong ball. Continues to have no runs or
no
hits.
Was there anybody
hits.
On base?
No. No, there was this time. Yeah. Oh, this there was time. This
that's
time.
That's all he does now.
Oh, that's when it's when nobody's on base. Yeah, it's when
he gets a hit. Yeah. If nobody's on base, which happens obviously his first at bat every game, he's hitless.
Yeah.
But he was fantastic. Kike Hernandez also came up big there for the Dodgers.
Kike, good interviewer.
Yeah, he is. He says we don't give an F.
He's a wild animal. Yeah, he is. And how about Walker Buehler coming back and pitching his rear end off.
Yeah, he was playing out of some jams
and whatnot.
Yeah, he was 1-6. He had a rough 16 starts this year, but he was fantastic last night. Certainly 18 swings and misses for Walker Buehler and an 8-0 shutout of the Mets of the Dodgers.
He couldn't buy a K before that game. And then he was just super.
Went to Kmart, got some.
Yes, yeah. I like that,
yep,
dude.
He did. He went to Kmart, bought a K.
Got to put that in a call.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hope that was on Dodgers radio network last night when describing Buehler's performance.
You think Joe Davis worked that one in?
Probably not. I'll be honest.
He probably didn't.
That was a broadest special right there.
Creativity there. Yeah. He needs to pick that up. So 8-0. Dodgers get the win. They're up 2-1. They will play again tonight after Guardians and the Yankees. Now sliding over to the ice, Stars back in action, looking to stay undefeated tonight.
At the Caps.
The Washington Capitals. Yes, if you're wondering how in the world can I watch this one, well, you can either go to Capital One Arena in Washington, you can watch it live, or it'll be available on the Victory Plus app, which is actually fantastic.
I'm kind of digging it, the fact that they show me the ice times of the dudes.
Yeah, I'm liking some of the effects here.
I do.
With the Victory Plus app. So, you also got big news today in Stars World. Otter isn't going anywhere. Jake Ottinger and your Dallas Stars have agreed to an 8-year, $66 million contract. This is after Yolmar got a big deal last week from the Boston Bruins. I did see from the Hockey Hawk Gavin Spittle, and you can check out their wonderful podcast. I think he had Mike Hyka on today, Spits and Suds. I think it's like $415K a year that Otter is saving by just being in Dallas when it comes to the state income taxes versus the Yolmark contract. So him being in Boston, $415K a year, he's pocketing by just being in Dallas.
Wow.
That's substantial.
Yeah, that's significant.
$3.2 million over the course of that contract.
Pretty amazing. So now the Stars have locked up a lot of their good young talent for the foreseeable future. Miro Heiskanen till 2029, Esa Lindell till 2030, Roope Hintz till 2031, and now Jake Ottinger until 2033. Now, I did see the great Ralph Strangis, North Texas Mean Green himself.
Legend.
Did say, I know he's our guy, but I'm skittish here.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying he can't get there, and I like him, but he ain't there yet as a playoff stud.
That's fair.
Thank you.
Guys who win cups steal at least one game per series. He doesn't. They don't put you behind every series, and the Stars certainly have been. Lost game one, then you've got not all on him. He should win that matchup. Same stuff. I watched Eddie and the goalies of his day and everything since. Yeah. Those guys battle like Eddie hard for pucks. Bobrovsky, I'd like to see him feistier in there around the crease. I'm a fan, but we had one guy get it done, and we all wanted the others to be next, but it hasn't happened yet. So I agree with what Ralph's saying. I tried to argue and defend Otter last year's postseason. Definitely, I did not think he was playing his best hockey. He needs to carry that over for the Stars to finally break through in a really tough Western Conference and win the Stanley Cup this year.
Is Otter the Dak Prescott of goalies?
No. I mean, he had a...
Because when he gets home, he plays better. I mean, he's played better.
He's also had a playoff performance in Game 7 that I don't think you can compare any playoff performance Dak's had to.
Bobby would push back with the Tampa game. I wouldn't, but Bobby would.
Yeah, that's okay.
Didn't he have a game where he, 40, 50-something saves?
60-something saves against Calgary.
Calgary, I didn't want to overshoot that. Yeah. I thought it was.
No, he's putting up a stinker in every postseason game, but the general narrative with him right
when
now
he's
is
bad,
like
he's
regular
bad.
Season.
No, he's bad, he's bad.
He's like regular season, maybe one of the best, for sure.
Glove
and then you get the postseason, not quite the same.
Yeah, glove side, they kind of get him.
Yeah, he just hasn't been able to steal you any victories. Like, my gosh, your goaltender was so damn good tonight. But he's certainly, I don't think, losing you necessarily any series. But I'd like to see Otter take that next step in the playoffs. Stars are looking to remain undefeated tonight against Washington. Excited to see this. Of course, you got the 39-year-old Ovechkin who's still hunting for his first
goal
of the
season. He's only 39?
39 years old. Yeah, he sits behind 41 goals back of Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL goals record. Wow. So 41 goals away. I didn't think that would be broken, but Alexander Ovechkin has a chance to do it. So we'll see if he's able to maybe get a tally tonight.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you like let him have a goal if you're up 3-0, 4-0?
Just to
kind of get him going?
I want him to like...
Like every game.
Just sandbag
just
one?
Just do it just against sandbag. Other teams.
Just so the great one has some... That's the sweat a little bit.
He just gets a little
no, just super no. anti-Wayne.
Like you're up 4-0 and it's like... Ovechkin shoots, he scores! And you're like, you kind of sprawl out. You don't even save it very well. It kind of goes right through you. Wouldn't you, Dawson? Don't look at me.
Maybe
like
if
that.
He's my countryman, you know, if he's a buddy. But if I'm competing against this guy, no. You know, I want to send that old man packing. It's my time.
Yeah. Screw you.
Got a goals against average and a big paycheck coming
up. Right. Casey DeSmith, I don't think he's going to give him that one.
I don't know. You hate Wayne Gretzky more than you love yourself, basically.
No. I kind of feel like I kind of like the drunkard hockey player better than the...
with no helmet on, no teeth,
the old school. I'm just saying Ovechkin seems like if he breaks the record, he might go on a three-month bender.
No, you're right. He's definitely a lot more fun.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. He partied hard when they finally...
So he's going to break Gretzky's all-time goal scoring record?
41 goals, Dawson. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give him a goal while you're in there.
That's crazy.
41 goals away.
Pete I don't DeBoer. Believe that. I demand a recount.
Because all
Gretzky
counted.
Was nobody could catch Gretzky.
Well, Gretzky's assists alone, he would be the all-time points leader in the NHL.
He now, played with some great players, though, in Edmonton.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ovechkin's played with some really good players. I mean, they did win a Stanley Cup, and they were just always losing
a bunch of
the,
Stanley
the
Cups.
Pens. Gretzky. Yeah. Ovechkin's got one. Pete DeBoer had a scheduled doctor's appointment today. He's flying to meet the club in Washington, so he will talk to the team before the game, but it will be Casey DeSmith, most likely, who is your starting goaltender tonight. By the way, the Stars, number 8 in goaltending duos, according to ESPN's rankings, 1 through 32. 8th best tandem right there.
Got a shutout. That should be number 1.
Yeah, they should be. I don't know. I'll ask Ralph Strangis. I value his opinion.
I do value what Ralph has to say.
Football's finest coming up, Chief. Where are you taking it?
NFL coach quotables plus a Jaden Daniels stat of the day next year in the nation. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.